Jake, welcome back to the show. Probably the biggest show we've ever done.
Oh, man. I am just like frothing at the bit for this one.
I don't even know what that means.
I feel frothy.
Hey, Jake.
Hey, how you doing, Gail?
Living legend, it's safe to say, right now.
Uh-huh.
Birds of Prey. Batgirl.
Yeah. Oh, and don't forget, Secret Six.
Secret Six. And actually, when I first started reading your work was actually way back in the Agent X days. Let's talk about Red Sonja.
All right, please.
I'm a big fan of old Nikki Barucci at Dynamite, and he's
a very good friend of ours.
He's put together another Dynamite book, pardon the pun, for Red Sonja, and it's like a reboot. It's a new number one. It's a fresh start for people to check it out. Why should people check it out? What are you telling folks about Red Sonja, and you know why should they look into it?
Well, first of all, it's a relaunch, so you're getting in on the ground floor with a brand new story, so you don't need to read any past Red Sonja stories ever, although we will be filtering in her terrifically textured world, you know, as the stories progress and things, but it's going to be the story first, and then the other stuff is going to come in as layers and just more, you know, information to round out the world. So you don't need to have known anything prior, and it's just a really badass, fun, you know, there is some humor, but it's not a humor book per se. It's a barbarian book. It's about a she-devil with a sword who is no longer an ice queen like we've kind of seen at times in the past. She's not a distant, you know, stand in the background, you know, while observing things kind of character. She is a really hot-blooded, quick to the sword, quick to react, quick to tell a joke. The first story starts with her face down, drunk, while someone's trying to steal her horse.
Right.
That's like
every
Saturday
night for me. I'll let you imagine whether or not you think that goes well.
Right.
You know, just really proud of what we've done with her because it's just really exciting and really accessible. And she's the first story. Story arc is she's just pushed to her absolute limit and has to make a decision to do or not do something that she promised herself she never would.
Yeah, and the first issue you mentioned her not being an ice queen as, you know, maybe previous iterations. You see her kind of the king, you know, calls for her and he's in like this area is in need and he asks her to, you know, get them ready for an impending invasion. And
right, and she's kind of a younger Red Sonja than what we've seen in the past too, so she's just getting her reputation, but her reputation right now is they call her the devil because she brings hell with her. So she, even though she's young, she's just starting that reputation.
How do you hop onto a title like that? I think you've done it before where you kind of have history with a character with Batgirl, but you can start fresh. Do you attack those projects a little bit differently, knowing that you have kind of a free reign, or do you find like maybe jumping onto a title that's has 60 years of history and you have to remember it being more difficult, or do you treat them the same?
It's always about trying to tell a fun, compelling story that people are going to be interested in and want to come back and read more, want to learn more about the character, more about her adventures, or you know his, whichever. The project happens to be, and you know, the history can be a wonderful added texture. It's never something that I want to get in the way of a reader's enjoyment and understanding of the story. So it's just really important to have it as texture and background and fun little extra tidbits to help round out the stories that I'm telling and that they're reading. And it just that's my main approach, and you know whether the history differs or not. And sometimes, you know, some things hold up well throughout history, and some things don't. Some things, in you know, that Red Sonja in her background, I feel in the beginning just are no longer appropriate for you know today's audience.
Now,
they just don't work like, as they did.
I've been waiting for you to do a fantasy book ever since that run, that story arc in Secret Six, where the Secret Six go to Skartaris, and I just really loved like all of that stuff that you did there. But like, do you find it really different approaching a more fantasy set story rather than something like in your DC books where it's a lot more crime and modern settings oriented?
You know, there's differences, of course, but it's still about coming up with a story that fits that character, that's going to be interesting. And the fantasy elements are fun, just like the superhero and supervillain elements are fun with superhero comics. It's just something that you can tell a little bit different story. I get to have wizards and some kind of crazy creatures and things like that, which I did a little bit in Wonder Woman. And people who have read the things that I've written all along know that I'm sticking barbarian stories in there here and there. You know, I did it in Wonder Woman, and I did it in Secret Six, of course. And so I have a love of the genre. And to be able to just, like, go full-on now is very exciting. Just full-on barbarian, hot-blooded, mud-caked, you know, dirt-soaked, alcohol-ridden.
Right. You're naming the title of my memoir, actually, right now.
Hopefully not too much blood and pain.
Mostly mud.
Yeah, maybe some vomit, but, you know.
Only on Saturdays.
I read an interview with you talking about Red Sonja, and I think it's awesome the variant covers, you know, are being done by really great female artists. And the interview had asked, you know, it's interesting to see female fans come out and say, like, yeah, I love Red Sonja. And they're comfortable in saying that, where there might have been kind of a stigma for saying that you love this kind of really incredibly dangerous, sexy woman that will cut your head off in, like, you know, 2 seconds. And I think it's...
I love that. I know.
Yeah, I think it's great to see, you know, like, you know, the staples of the world and, you know, Scott do those covers, and they just knock them out of the park, and they're great. And what my hope is, and I'm pretty sure you too, is, you know, other fans come out with that love of this character.
Yeah, it was really exciting because, you know, I've loved Red Sonja for a long time, and it's the one character that my own mother is the most excited about me writing of anything that I've ever written before, which is just cracks me up completely. And she's, I mean, every day she's like, when did you say Red Sonja's coming out? You're giving me a copyright. And she's just, you know, every day she's talking to me about it. And then to learn, like, when I started reaching out to some of these female artists for covers, that they were huge Red Sonja fans and were so excited to get the chance to, you know, do their interpretation of her. And then when the art started coming in, I was just floored because, you know, the different female artists took different aspects of her character, but, you know, it all fits into this one woman, and some covers are very regal and deadly, and some are just straight on brutal, some are beautiful, some are, you know, war weary. You know, it's just incredible. I just could not be happier. They really put out way beyond even what I was expecting or hoping. Mm-hmm. Just, thank you, all you wonderful lady artists. It's just been incredible.
Your journey to kind of becoming, you know, a very well-known, well-respected writer intrigues me because, you know, you started out with the Women in Refrigerators, you know, blog, and that's where you kind of got that following originally, and then The Simpsons, the Bongo comics. When you were doing those blog posts, did you have it in your head that, you know, I want to be the writer that is looked to kind of, you know, restart properties, or the trusted writer to make these stories? Was that in your head back then?
No, not at all. I had my hair salon. I was secretly doing stuff at night when I couldn't sleep because I'm a well-known insomniac. And nobody knew. I was like, not only was I doing Women in Refrigerators, which that came out of me being on message boards and talking to a lot of other comic book fans, because I've been a reader and a lover of comics most of my life, and mostly it was dudes on the boards at that time, and they were asking, why don't more ladies read comics, ladies and girls? And I started thinking about it, because I had checked out for probably close to a decade. I think Mark Waid's Kingdom Come is what pulled me back in, just because of the way the female characters were regarded in general, not always or all of them, but in general. And it just, you know, I said, well, maybe we should take a look at this. Maybe other female readers and lovers of comics are feeling the same way. Maybe they aren't. I don't know. Let's look at it. And so, you know, that's how that came about. And I also was doing little mini parodies on message boards, which got picked up as a column called You'll All Be Sorry, which I did for quite a while in secret as well. I only told my husband when I knew I was going to be getting a little check in the mail.
Right.
So no, I did not set out to do any of those things. I was perfectly happy, with my hair salon, and I just wanted something more creative and fun and to get involved with other people who liked some of the same things that I did.
That's a good
thing. And that's really all that I had in mind at the time.
What do you, now that you're kind of in the industry, what do you read the same things? Do you check out the same books monthly? What are you reading?
I do, and right now, I guess that comes to the question of what are you reading right now. I am really liking Rachel Rising,
yeah.
And I've been checking out Brian Woods Conan, which I'm really loving, and I just read Damsels that Dynamite puts out, which is a modern, it's a fairy tale with modern princesses, which is a whole lot of fun,
mm-hmm.
And I read everything by Scott Snyder, and yeah, I'm still a huge reader and fan of comics in general, and it's fun to see new things that are coming out, exciting works that people are exploring. And I've always said that the creators in comics have been some of the smartest, most original creators of any genre, so mm-hmm. Of course I'm checking things out.
You know that Brian Wood arc, it's funny because I love Brian Wood's take on Conan, and I love, which is kind of like the really a different take, is Kurt Busiek's run with Kerry Nord. Like those were,
oh, yeah.
Those are like so different, but they're just great takes on the character. And I think with Red Sonja, I think people will see that. You know, Red Sonja has been going on for a while, and even new and current readers, I think, will enjoy it, which I think is great.
Well, people seem to be excited about it, so mm-hmm. I'm hoping that they have as much fun reading it as I had writing it and working with Dynamite to get the project together and everything. It just has been a real treat and a real pleasure. And I think that really shows on the page as well. And Walter's just done incredible artwork. He's definitely brought his A game, and the colorist as well. And just the letterer, we kind of banter back and forth and make jokes. And it's just been just really a fun experience all the way around.
Yeah, it's great. Gail, thanks for coming on the show. And I encourage people to check out the new issue, Red Sonja #1.
Yeah, you won't be disappointed, hopefully. Check it out.